Okay, welcome back to Melachim Aleph, Perek Beis. It's the last time we learned the beginning of Perek Beis, and in the beginning, we saw that Adoniyahu, after he was defeated, kind of, you know, he realized he wasn't going to be the Melech, so he approached Bathsheba, and he asked Bathsheba to make one request of her son Shlomo, that he wanted to marry Avishag Ashunamis. And, you know, it seemed from his request that he just, you know, listen, a poor guy, you know, he didn't get the malucha, so at least let him get the queen, so to speak. And and he approached Bathsheba. Bathsheba seemed to say, okay, well, listen, you know, it doesn't sound so, sounds pretty harmless. You know, the guy's in love with this girl, so let me see what I can do. She goes to Shlomo, and Shlomo says, absolutely not. He sees right through it. And he sees that this is really Adoniyahu still trying to hold on to the Malucha by marrying the queen, showing that he's ro'i for the Malucha. And he says, absolutely not. And he has him killed. He sends Benayahu, and he has Adoniyahu killed. Okay. So now we're up to Pasuk Chaf Vav. And he says, you know, this is it. He's going to clean up shop, and he's going to, you know, basically fulfill all of those things that the mandates that David left him with at the end of his life. Remember, David said to take care of this one, take care of that one. So this is when Shlomo's going to begin that process. So the pasuk says, pasuk chavav, Adoniyahu was just killed. Eviyasar haKohen Amar haMelech, and now he turns to Eviyasar haKohen. Eviyasar haKohen was the Kohen Gadol, who was serving under Adoniyahu and was certainly on Adoniyahu's side. And he tells him, Anasos Lech, Al Sadecha. He says, go to Anasos. So some say, Rashi says he was from Anasos. Some say he was telling him to go to Anasos, even though he wasn't from Anasos. Okay, but either way, Anasos, according to some of Farshim, was a city of Kohanim. So he was a Kohen. So this was a city that he was, that made sense for him to go to. And he sends him back to go to Anasos. You know, that's a city of Kohanim. Ki ish maves ata, because really you deserve to die. Really you deserve to die. Why do you deserve to die? You're married by Malchus. All of these people, right, that we're going to learn about. The married by Malchus, he joined Adoniyahu to make him the king, even though David was still alive. You're a married by Malchus, you're really a ben maves. You're really a ish maves ata. Uvayoma ze lo amisecha. He says, I'm not going to kill you today. I'm not going to kill you today, says Shlomo. Why? Kinasasa is Aron Hashem, Adoshem Hashem, Lifnei David Avi, because you carried the Aron before my father David. When did he carry the Aron? So the Mefarshim explain, remind us that when David was fleeing from Avshalom, Eviyasar was still on his side. He was on David's side. So David ran with the Aron. Eviyasar the Kohen carried the Aron for David. So Shlomo says, you know, you did something good, right? You did a mitzvah. You did something good. I can't just kill you today. Yeah, I have to, you know, you have to be rewarded for what you did. And he says, V'chi hisanisa b'chol asher hisana avi. And when you were running with him away from Avshalom, you suffered along with him. Whatever he suffered, you suffered, right? So you know, you're kind of with him in this parsha. And therefore, I can't kill you today. So he says, go to Anasos, but I can't kill you today. Okay. Pasuk Chav Zayin. Vayigarish Shlomo es Eviyasar mihios Kohen LaHashem. And he drove him away. Right? And this was not just a physical driving him out of town, so to speak. You know, running him out of town, running him out of Yerushalayim. But he ran him out of the job. He was the Kohen Gadol, and he said, that's it, you're not the Kohen Gadol anymore, you're done. L'malei is devar Hashem asher diber al beis Eli b'shilo. So very interesting, we're reminded about beis Eli. Remember this whole story of Eli, right back in Shmuel. And Eli died, his children died, everybody died. And the Mishkan was in Shiloh at that time. And the promise was, the Kodesh Baruch Hu's word, was that Eli, the house of Eli, would be cut off. Right, the house of Eli would be cut off. And Rashi explains that from the time Shiloh was destroyed, there was never a significant place for the Avodas Hashem, for the Mishkan. So the Mishkan was here, the Mishkan was there, but it wasn't stable, it wasn't permanent, and therefore you couldn't really have the fulfillment of this Dvar Hashem, that Eli's house would be cut off, because it was kind of in flux. So at this point, when Shlomo HaMelech is becoming the king, and we know Shlomo, of course, is destined to build the Beis HaMikdash, which is coming attractions we're going to learn about. So at this point, this is the time when Dvar Hashem, that Eli's line will be cut off, is now being fulfilled. Now, right before the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, no more Eli's line, that's the Dvar Hashem, and therefore, Avyasar is out. Avyasar was from the Beis Eli, he was a descendant of Eli, and therefore he's no longer the Kohen Gadol. This promise is fulfilled, and now we're going to move to a different line of Kohanim. Yeah.
Would he have been punished anyway if Afra had gone to speaking to Bathsheba? Would he have been abolished anyway?
If not for Adoniyahu, again. Yeah, well, he joined forces with Adoniyahu, right? You're saying, had he not done that?
Correct.
Still, he was from Beis Eli, so the Hashkoch of Hashem had to work it out that he would be somehow demoted. Yeah. So if not this, maybe something else, you know? Yeah. Okay. Pasuk Chav Ches. Now this gets very, very interesting. The Hashmua Ba'a Ad Yoav. Now Yoav hears what's going on. He hears, now the question is, what exactly did he hear? Pashup Shad, he heard that Adoniyahu was killed. He heard that Avyasar was driven out of Yerushalayim and demoted from Kohen Gadol. And Yoav says, this is not good. I don't like where this is heading. Ki Yoav nata acharei Adoniya, v'acharei Avshalom lo nata. Yoav did follow Adoniya. He did not follow Avshalom. He did not follow Avshalom. Now it's interesting. The Mefarshim all struggle with this line. Why is the Navi telling us that he did not follow, that he followed Adoniya, but he did not follow Avshalom? I mean, why is it important that he did not follow Avshalom? What's important is that he followed Adoniya. That's why he was scared. Why is the Navi reminding us that he did not follow Avshalom? So Pashup Shat, the Radak says, is because, had it been the opposite, had he supported Avshalom and not Adoniyahu, so then he says he would not have been Chayiv Misa. Why? Because of the two rebellions, Avshalom and Adoniyahu, which one was, which one was more logical, so to speak? Avshalom. Avshalom was more logical. And we see that many people followed Avshalom, right? At the time when it was going on, we had many people followed Avshalom. Afterwards, they realized they made a mistake and they went back to David. So many people followed Avshalom at that time. So the pshat is that had he followed Avshalom and not Adoniyahu, right? So then he would have been okay. He wouldn't have been Chayiv Misa for that, because we could have excused that. Yeah, Avshalom was the Bechor, maybe he should have been the king, et cetera, et cetera, fine. But here, once he did not follow Avshalom, and he only followed Adoniyahu, so this shows that, he had something against David. He had something against David. And also keep in mind, Avshalom was when David was at his strength. Adoniyahu was when David was already old and weak. So if you're not following Avshalom and you're only following Adoniyahu, what does that show? That shows that you really want to get David off of his pedestal. You really want to knock him off from being the king. But Avshalom, that's already David is strong. I'm not going to follow him then. I'm not going to go against David when he's strong. But when he's weak, then I'm going to do it. That's already that's bad. That's Marid B'Malchus. It's one thing if you have no shame, but here he had a shame. He was ashamed. He wouldn't do it when David was strong. He only did it when David was weak. So that shows, what a chutzpah that he had. Oh, so yeah. That's what it sounds like. Yes. The rebellion itself was worse because David was driven out of Yerushalayim. So the rebellion itself was worse. But what the Radak seems to say, maybe this is a chiddush, but what the Radak seems to say is that the fact that people would follow Avshalom, that you can't fault them as much. You can't fault them as much for following Avshalom, which is interesting. Okay. I mean, you could have made the opposite argument. You could have said Avshalom, David was still strong. So now you're following Avshalom, David is still around. What is that supposed to mean? Okay, here, but in the time of Adoniyahu, David is weak. So maybe Adoniyahu is going to be the king and not Shlomo. right? We're already at the next stage. We're already at the next king. You know, David's already dying. But Shalom, David was in his strength, so you could have made that argument. The Radak is saying the opposite, which is interesting.
But y'all should have feared first, right? Because didn't David tell Shlomo back in the beginning yes. of the to go ahead and
get Yeah, but Yoav doesn't know exactly what David told Shlomo, I don't think.
Oh, that's what Yishmael that he heard. That he heard that David had, part of it was that he heard David, you know, I guess David telling Shlomo.
I don't know. I don't know. That's not.
He learned that he was told to not to kill him, but to.
Yeah.
And all these things, he heard what was going on.
So. Yeah, so I mean, okay. So Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi said that the Shmua that he heard. No, I'm sorry. You know what? You're right. I forgot about that. You're right. Yeah. You're right. Rashi does say that. Sorry. Rashi does say that he heard that David commanded commanded Shlomo to have Yoav killed. That he heard that. He did hear that. Okay, very good. I forgot about that. Very good. And he also heard Rashi says that Shlomo didn't like him. He got wind of the fact that Shlomo didn't like him. So he says, David commanded Shlomo to have me killed. Shlomo, I know, doesn't like me. You know, this is not good and he's scared. So where does he go? Vayonas Yoav el Oel Hashem. So Yoav runs to the Oel Hashem. Okay, he runs to the again, there was no Beis HaMikdash. Even the Mishkan, we know, wasn't really in one piece at this point, because the Oel Hashem, not your oil, right? But the Oel Hashem was where, that was where you had the Aron, right? Was in Yerushalayim. The Mishkan was still in Givon. I think Givon right now, right? I think the Mishkan was still in Givon technically, but the Aron was brought to Yerushalayim and David left it there and he built a special Ohel for it. So that's what we're referring to, the Oel Hashem. That's referring to the Oel Hashem.
Same thing.
And he holds on to the Karnos HaMizbeach. He holds on. There was a Mizbeach there also, right? Because again, we don't know that there was a Mizbeach there. We know the Aron was there. But the Mefarshim say that there must have been a Mizbeach because if the Aron is there, so then David would have built a Mizbeach, you know, to bring Karbanos there also. So there was a Mizbeach there, and he ran and he held on to the Mizbeach. Now, why did he hold on to the Mizbeach? So, presumably, says the Metzudas David, he thought, you know, he's not going to kill me, you know, he's not going to kill me by the Mizbeach. Here we have an Ohel where the Aron is, the Mizbeach, to Makom of Kedusha, Tahara. He's not going to come and kill and be Metame the whole place. It's going to be Metame the Mizbeach by killing me on the Mizbeach. Ah, he's not going to do that. So that's why he ran to the Mizbeach. Now, it's interesting. The Gemara says in Makos, Gemara talks about this story, and the Gemara says that according to some opinions, Yoav made two mistakes here, and according to some opinions, he made three mistakes. Okay, now what were his mistakes? Now we have to keep in mind, there is a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, which we just read, and in Parshas Mishpatim, the pasuk says, V'chiyazid ish al re'ehu lahargova arma, when a person kills someone else intentionally, me'im mizbechi tikachenu lamus, then you can take him off of the mizbeach and kill him. Okay? So now, pashup shot in this pasuk is that if someone kills someone else intentionally, that person's chayiv misa, and the way Rashi understands it, even if it's a kohen is doing avoda, right? That's not an excuse. You take him off the Mizbeach and you kill him. Right? He killed someone intentionally. He's a murderer. You take him off the Mizbeach and you kill him. Okay? Now, but this pasuk seems to imply that when did you take the person off the Mizbeach and kill him? That's when he killed intentionally. But if the person killed Bishogeg, if a person killed unintentionally, you can make an implication from this pasuk that maybe if he's on the Mizbeach, you don't take him off, right? Meaning the Mizbeach would save him, much like we know the Ir Miklat would save the Rotzeach B'Shogeg. If someone killed unintentionally, the Ir Miklat would serve as a city of refuge for them, and they would be saved. So to the Mizbeach was like a mini Ir Miklat. That's the implication from this pasuk. So the Gemara Mako says that Yoav made at least two mistakes. One mistake, is the Gemara says, "Sheino kolate elagago, who tafas the karnosav." says, number one, the only place on the Mizbeach that does save someone is the roof of the Mizbeach, meaning the top of the Mizbeach. Yoav was just holding on to the corners, the kronos, or the corners of the Mizbeach, the horns, at the corners. He was holding on to the corner. He was standing on the ground, presumably. He was holding on to the corner. That doesn't work. You have to literally be on top of the Mizbeach in order for the Mizbeach to save you. That's mistake number one. Mistake number two, that the only Mizbeach that saves you is the Mizbeach of Beis Olamim, meaning the Mizbeach of the Beis HaMikdash. And this was the Mizbeach of Shiloh, right? This was the Mizbeach of Shiloh, which had been relocated, right? So this wasn't the correct Mizbeach. This wasn't the Mizbeach of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, that was his second mistake. And then Abaye in the Gemara says he actually made a third mistake, that the only person that's saved by the Mizbeach is only a Kohen while he's doing Avoda. Yoav was not a Kohen, and he wasn't doing Avoda. So the Mizbeach wouldn't save him. So Yoav runs to the Oel and holds on to the Mizbeach, thinking that the Mizbeach is going to save him. Meanwhile, he's mistaken, and the Mizbeach will not save him. Okay, so now, sorry? Yeah, correct. He didn't learn from the mistake. Okay, Pasuk Chaf Tes. Vayugalam Elach Shlomo Kinos Yoav El Oel Hashem. So, you know, they hear that this is where Yoav is. So they inform Shlomo that Yoav ran to the Oel Hashem. Hinei Yitzal Mizbeach, and he's right by the Mizbeach. Vayishlach Shlomo Es Vinayo Ben Yehoyada Leimor Leich Pigabo. Shlomo says he's mistaken. This Mizbeach is not going to help him. Go kill him. Right? He tells Benayahu, go kill him. Go kill him. Okay? Vayomer Benayahu, I'm sorry, Vayavo, Pasuk Lama. Vayavo Benayahu Elohim Hashem. Vayomer Elohim. So he comes to the Elohim Hashem, and he tells Yoav, Ko Omer HaMelech, stay. He says, King says, we got to get out of here. Right? Get away from the Mizbeach. Vayomer Lo Kipo Amos. Yoav says, absolutely not. You want to kill me? Kill me here. I'm not going anywhere. Vayoshev bin Ayahu es Hamelech davar lemor ko diber Yoav achoanan. So he goes back to Shlomo and he says, listen, yeah, I told him to get away from the Mizbeach. He said, no, what should I do? Okay, now, the Radak says that there was a lot of cheshbonos here in this conversation, and in Yoav's reluctance to leave the Mizbeach. Why? So he says that when Shlomo wanted to kill him, he says there are different ways that people are killed, right? So normally the way that someone is killed is person does something that's chayv misa, so you take him to Beis Din, right? You take him to Beis Din, and Beis Din, you know, tries him, they prosecute him, and then they decide, is he chayiv, is he pater, etc. And if he's chayiv, then they kill him. That's the normal way of killing someone. Now, there's also such a thing as the king killing someone. The person was murdered by Malchus, somebody did something else, you know, whatever the case was, and then the king decided, that's it, we have to take action. The king can kill, and that doesn't have to go through due process. The king can decide on his own. He's going to kill this person, and it doesn't go through the courts. Now,
also, when you take money, or you take away their money.
The king has the right to confiscate.
And also killing?
Yes. Yeah. Correct. Yeah, but No, but no. Yeah, I mean, it's like killing, not exactly killing him, right?
Right, Rabbi. Okay.
Yeah.
What kind of government would you describe that they have? I mean, it wasn't a democracy.
No.
A dictatorship. I don't know.
It's a monarchy.
A monarchy, uh-huh.
Monarchy. Shlomo's the king, and he runs the show. Now, obviously, it's a little different than a standard monarchy because Shlomo's running the show based on the Torah. You know, and included in the Torah, you do have a judicial system, right? But I guess, Lahavdil, even in regular monarchies, they have some courts. Well, they might be kangaroo courts. You know, they might not be real courts. But Beis Din was a real court. Right, but the king still has the authority to go, over their head, so to speak, above and beyond. So, So the Radak says that some say that if someone is killed by the Melech, he loses all of his assets. He loses all of his money. But if he's killed by Beis Din, so then the Yarshim get his money. Then the Yarshim get his money. So he didn't want that to happen. He didn't want to be killed by the Melech. He didn't want to be killed by the Melech because he said, if I'm killed by the Melech, so then I'm going to lose all my money. My Yarshim won't get my money. So, and Shlomo's response to him is, I don't really care what he says. I don't really care if his Yarshim are going to lose his assets. Go kill him, right? Go kill him. So that's one. Some say, interesting, that he was stalling for time here, right? This whole thing was a stall tactic. He knew he was going to die. He knew Shlomo was going to kill him. He knew there was no way out, right? This is not, I mean, he's not actually going to survive this. This was just a stall tactic. Chaye Shah, says the Radak. He wanted to buy a little more time. So he tells, so Benayahu tells him, get away from the Mizbeach. He says, I'm not leaving the Mizbeach. And Benayahu now has to go back to Shlomo and say, what should I do? He's not leaving the Mizbeach. And Shlomo says, okay, go back and kill him where he is. So this was just a stall tactic. He knew he was going to die either way. That's another approach. A third approach is that those who are killed by Beis Din, those who are killed by Beis Din, are not buried with their families, right? They're buried in a separate place. So some say he did not want to be killed by Beis Din, right? He did not want to be killed by Beis Din because then he wouldn't have been buried with his family. So he wanted to stay and be buried with his family. That's another approach. And then a fourth approach that the Radak quotes is that part of what Yoav is saying is that when David issued several curses when he found out that Yoav killed Amasa, right? David had a whole bunch of curses for Yoav and his descendants. So Yoav says, I'm only going to leave if Shlomo agrees to take the klolos on his head. I don't want these klolos. I'm happy to die, right? You want to take my life? You want to kill me for what I've done? No problem, right? But I don't want these klolos. I don't want these klolos. So he tells that. That's really what he's telling this Benayahu. He's telling Shlomo, I'm ready to go, but I want Shlomo to take the klolos. And Shlomo's response is, okay, kill him where he is. I'll take the klolos on my head. That's how some understand this also. And the Mefarshim point out that if you look later at Shlomo's descendants, that many of them have a lot of the klolos that were given to Yoav. So for example, so the klolos were for Yoav that his children should be Zavim, and we find that Rechavam was a Zav. That his children should be Mitzoraim. You find that Uzziyahu was a Mitzora. Asa was a cripple. Yoshiyahu was killed by arrows. Yechaniah didn't have any food. And they match up that all of the klolos that David gave to the descendants of Yoav, actually, this incident transferred those klolos onto Shlomo's head and went down to Shlomo's descendants instead of Yoav's descendants.
Why would he do that?
Why would Shlomo do that? Okay, good question. Good question. Right, good question. Why would Shlomo accept it? So you could say that maybe Shlomo didn't think they would actually materialize. And he said, "What is this? He's just giving me the clothes. I'm going to accept them, and that's it." And really, they did. Really, they did. Or you could say that he said, "Listen, right now, my avoda, I'm supposed to kill Yoav. So I can't start negotiating this and that or whatever. I got to kill him. So if this is what happens when I kill him, this is what happens. You know, even if that wasn't his intention, so to speak." No, correct. But again, it's clear from this conversation that Shlomo did not want to kill him right by the Mizbeach, right? Even the fact that Benayahu came and told him, say, we don't find that Shlomo told Benayahu that, right? All Shlomo tells Benayahu is, go kill him. Right? What does the pasuk say? Lech pigabo. That's all it says. Now, but it's clear from what Benayahu says in Pasuk Lamed, Vayomer Elov Ko Amar HaMelech, say, Shlomo didn't want to kill him by the Mizbeach. It would be Metami the Mizbeach. The Mitzvah Stavit says this was part of Yoav's whole plan, is that to kill someone by the Mizbeach is a chait. He wanted Shlomo to sin by killing him by the Mizbeach. Right? So he does have a little bit of leverage here because he knows Shlomo doesn't want to kill him by the Mizbeach. So he's telling him, I'm not moving unless. Right? I'm not moving unless, you know, unless whatever. I hear you. Okay, I hear you.
Did you all have any question from David?
Oh,
he was a general.
Yes. So we'll see. Well, yeah. So okay. So those the chusim not as much, but we'll see. We'll see one the chus that comes up. Maybe. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Let's keep going. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vayomer lo hamelech asei kaasher diber. So Shlomo says to Benayahu, do as he says. Ufegabo, kill him. Ukevarto, and bury him. Vahasirosa t'mei chinam asher shafach Yoav me'alai u'me'al beis avi, and remove this blood that Yoav spilled for nothing. Right, Yoav spilled this blood for nothing. That's sitting over the head of my father in his house. Remove that from our plate. Now again, Yoav was the general of David's army. And Yoav went and killed Avner, and he killed Amasa. So this, in a sense, is hanging over Malchus Beis David. So Shlomo says the only way to do this, to get rid of this, is by us killing Yoav, getting him out of here, right? Getting him out of the picture. Rashi says that here, Shlomo is accepting the curses upon himself, right? Asei kasher diber, whatever he says, fine, let's just kill him, right? He's accepting the curses upon himself, like we said. Now it's interesting, the burial, the Radak says, why is he saying ukvartov, you should bury him, right? So Shlomo's telling Benayahu, listen, it's true that he sinned and he deserves to die, but he still was a Tsar Tzava, right? He was a general, he was still Choshkov. So you have to treat him with dignity afterwards. You can't just throw him to the dogs. You have to bury him properly. Then what? David didn't bury. Who didn't he bury? I don't remember.
Left by the side of the road.
Ah. Who was that? Somebody was left by the side of the road.
It
was traffic, right? All the soldiers were stopping to look, and they finally covered him up. Who was that? I don't remember now. Right. Yeah, I hear you. I don't remember the whole thing now. Yeah. Okay.
Why would
children
want to be
Matamba in the Mizbeach? I want to be Matamba in the Mizbeach. Okay. Good. No, good. Hold on a second. It's still recording. Again, I think that he is going to move off the Mizbeach, right? I think he is going to move off the Mizbeach. This is what Yoav is bargaining. Yoav is saying, I'll get off the Mizbeach if you accept these klolos. Right? So Shlomo says, fine, I'll do it. Let him get off the Mizbeach and let's kill him. Right? So I think he is. I think Shlomo doesn't want to kill him right by the Mizbeach. I think that's what's happening here. The Mitzvah stuff just points out a side note here that he says, number one, Benayahu was a Kohen, so he couldn't bury him by himself. We had a whole discussion, if you remember, 2 weeks ago, we discussed how Benayahu could even kill these people if he was a Kohen, right? If he was a Kohen, how are you telling him to kill? So a whole discussion, he stabbed him and then he ran away before he died, right? All these things but burying him, that's for sure making him tummy, right? If you can't bury a body and not become tummy. So Benayahu couldn't bury him himself. That's what the Mitzvah says. It means you should take care of his burial, arrange for his burial. And he says, and we have to do this. And he says, if we don't do this, then we'll be punished. Why? Uviyarta harami kirbecha. We have to get rid of evil, right? Yoav is evil. We have to get rid of evil. If we don't, uviyarta harami kirbecha, we're going to get punished for this, right? So this was him. This was him also pushing him to do it. for lishma reasons, so to speak. Okay, Lamed Beis. The Heishiv Hashem has done a rov show, and this is his own fault, right? Yoav's blood is on his own head. This is not our fault. This is his fault. Asher poga b'shnei anoshim tzadikim v'tovim mimenu, because he killed two great men who were greater than he was. Right? Obviously referring to Avner and Amasa. Vayahargein b'cheref, he killed them, but with the sword. He killed them with the sword. Ve'avid David lo yada, and my father David did not know. We'll see what this means in a second. And who are these two men? Obviously, it's Avner ben Ner, Sar Tzvo Yisrael. Avner ben Ner, who was the general. V'yas Amasa ben Yeser, Sar Tzvo Yehuda, who was the general of Yehuda. Now, why were they better? It says they were tzadikim. They were tzadik tovim mimenu. So either because they didn't spill innocent blood, like Yoav spilled innocent blood and they did not, or because, interesting, the Radak points out here that Avner and Amasa were instructed by Shaul to kill Kohanim, to kill the Kohanim, and they did it. They disobeyed Shaul. They disobeyed Shaul. Yoav, as soon as he got a letter, David sent him a letter about getting Uriah killed, and Yoav ran to do it. So he says, you see the contrast that here, when Avner and Amasa got wind, they sensed that this wasn't the right thing to do. They ran away and they disobeyed the king. Yoav jumped at the opportunity to kill someone that the king had just sent a letter about killing. So that's how they were Tovim Mimenim. Now, what's this Melech Lo Yada? So the Malbim points out here that that killing by Cherev was what the king used to do. That was the Din Malchus. The king used to kill Becherev. Now, he killed them Becherev, but without David's consent. So if you're using the royal method of execution without the king's consent, that's a bigger slap in the face to the king. So it's not just that he killed them, but he killed them using the method that the king would have used. And he didn't get David's consent. So that's a big slap in the face. Yeah, stoning. I don't know exactly. I mean, you know, I don't know exactly what the other methods are, but you know, Srefa, Chenek, Skila, whatever the different ways were. But here, this way was specifically for the Melech. Okay. Fine. Now it's interesting. He also points out here that Shlomo thought that these klolos would not come true on his line. And he was mistaken. He says that they did come true, right? So Shlomo, you know, again, like has this idea that these klolos are not gonna stick to me. You know, this is for Yoav. I'll tell him I'll take the klolos, but they're not really gonna come, you know, upon my descendants, but he was wrong. They really did. Okay, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Vishavu Demeyim Berosh Yoav of Rosh Zara La'olam. And their blood, meaning the blood of Avner and Amasa, will return upon the head of Yoav and the head of his descendants forever. Ule David, ule Zara, ule Veso, ule Chiso, Yeshalom ad Olam Me'im Hashem. And for David and his house and his kingdom, there will be peace, meaning that this will not be an issue for David any longer. Pasuk Lamed Daled, Vayal ben Yoho ben Yehoyada, Vayifgabo, Vayimisehu, Vayikover beveso Bamidbar. So he goes up and he kills him. He goes up to the old with the Aron and the Mizbeach, and he kills him, and he buries him in his house in the Midbar. So what was this? His house in the Midbar. So Pashup Shat, this is where he lived. Some say that the Midbar refers not like a desert like we think of sand, but the Midbar was the wilderness. This was the place where people used to take their flocks to graze. You know, not where people lived. They would go out to the wilderness and graze their flocks there, and some say that that's where his house was. Now it's interesting. He quotes the Radak and other Mefarshim here quote the Medrash that said that this was actually a shevach to Yoav because Yoav was he had some good things to him, and he was a machnis oreach, and his house was actually in the Midbar for the people that passed by. He would take care of them, so he wasn't a rotten guy. You know, as we shouldn't think that Yoav is a rotten guy. You know, he had some midos that were not great, and some things he made mistakes, you know, but at the same time, he was still a tzaddik, he was still a good person, and that's why he was buried over there as his chus, that he was buried in, you know, he was buried in his house in the Midbar. Some say also that his house was like a Midbar, that just like the Midbar is open to everybody, his house was open to everyone, and he was able to do that. Others say that Bnei Yisrael became like a Midbar after he died. Again, there was something that he offered to Bnei Yisrael, as much as he made mistakes and he had certain midos that were not great, but there was something that was missing from Klal Yisrael when he died. Okay, Pasuk Lamed Hey. So now we need a new general. Yoav's dead. Who's going to be the new general? He's going to be the new general. Yes, Tzadok HaKohen Nasan HaMelech Tachas Av Yosef, and Tzadok HaKohen is appointed as the new Kohen Gadol in place of Av Yosef HaKohen, who was driven away. He wasn't killed, Av Yosef, but he was driven out of Yerushalayim and demoted from the Kohuna Gadol. Pasuk Lamed Vav, Vayishlach HaMelech Vayikra. But now there's one more piece of unfinished business. The king calls the Shimi. He calls Shimi ben Gera. I remember Shimi ben Gera who cursed David. He says, I want you, Shimi. Shimi lived in Bachurim. Remember, Shimi lived in a place called Bachurim. That's what the Mefarshim point out. Remember, we learned that. And he says, I don't want you in Bachurim. I want you in Yerushalayim. I want you to build a house in Yerushalayim. And he says, I don't want you to leave. I want you to stay in this house, and I don't want you to go anywhere. And the Mefarshim say, why did he want him there? He wanted him close by. Why? Because he wanted to find a reason to kill him. So he wanted him close by, that he'd be able to find a reason to kill him. So he says, Shimi, build a house in Yerushalayim and stay there. Don't move. Don't leave. Okay? Pasuk Lamed Zayin. V'hoya b'yom seischa. But if you leave and you cross the Kidron Valley, if you do that, you're going to die. And it'll be your own fault. I'm warning you, right? Don't leave. You leave, you go Nachal Kidron, then you're going to die. Okay. Shimi says, I agree. Right? Amen. I agree. No problem. Now again, he's probably scared for his life. So whatever Shlomo says, he's going to do, right? Or else the guy's going to kill me. No problem. I'll do it. That's what I'll do. And Shimi he lived in Yerushalayim for many years. It was after 3 years' time. So two of Shimi's servants ran away. They escaped. And they ran out of Shimi's house. El Achish ben Ma'acha Melech Gas. They ran to Gas and the king of Gas to Achish ben Ma'acha. By Agidu leShimi leMor hinei avadecha v'Gas. So they came to Shimi and they told him, "Your servants ran away and they're in Gas." So what does Shimi do? He goes to get them. VaYakov Shimi vaYachavosh eschamaro. So Shimi gets up, he saddles his donkey, vaYelech Gasa el Achish levakish esavodav. And he goes to Gas to get his servants back. And he goes, he gets his servants, and he brings them back from Gas. Now we all know what's going to happen. And Shlomo finds out Shimi left, and he came back. And Shlomo says, that's my chance, right there. I told him. Pasuk Mem Beis, Vayishlach HaMelech Vayikra LeShimi, Vayomer Elav, Halo Yishvaticha Vashem. He says, I made you swear. Now the Mefarshim points out, we don't find that he swore, but okay, Mesama, probably he swore, right? But he says, I made you swear, va'id b'cha leimor, and I warned you. I warned you, saying, b'yom teischa ve'alachta ana ana va'ana, right? You go, you leave, you're going to leave Yerushalayim, yodo ateida kimos tamos. I told you, you're going to die. Va'tomere laitov adavar shamati. And you said to me, I'm in. I agree 100%. You agreed to this. I warned you. We set out the conditions. You agreed to it. And now you violated those conditions. Pasuk Mem Gimel. U'madua lo shamarta shvuas Hashem. Yes, ha-mitzvah asher tzivisi alecha. He says, you didn't listen to my command. You swore in Hashem's name and you violated that oath. Why'd you do this? Vayomer ha-melech el shimi pasuk lamed dalet, mem dalet. Asher Asisa LeDavid Avi. He says, you know about all the evil that you had in your heart for my father David. And the Mefarshim say here, the Radak says, that really, Shimei, what did he do? He cursed him, which was terrible. It was terrible. You cursed the king. It was terrible. He really wanted to do much worse. His plan was to do much worse, maybe to kill David or whatever it was. He stopped at cursing David. Shlomo says, you know what you plan to do. You know that what you did, that you had even worse intentions for my father David. And therefore, v'heishiv Hashem es ra'ascha b'roshecha. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated this right now, that now you're chayiv misa. Because you violated my command, you violated the shavua that you took, right? This shows that you had all these evil intentions and you were really chayiv misa from back then. You really chayiv misa from back then. HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged this. The Radak quotes the pasuk, Hashem ina liyado, right? Which we know some that Rashi explains in Chumash, that if you have a person, killed the Mazid, he killed intentionally, but there were no witnesses or whatever, he wasn't caught. So what happens? Hashem works it out that he's walking under a ladder and a guy falls on him and kills him. Hashem works things out at the end of the day, right? If you're Chayv Mis, Hashem's going to work it out. So here too, Hashem ina liyada, right? Oh, because of all your evil intentions. Now the Malbim goes at length. We don't have time to get into it all now. But the Malbim explains that Shimei, why did he leave? You know, I mean, it's dumb, right? He heard what Shlomo said. What, he forgot after 3 years? Well, it doesn't seem like he forgot. Why would he forget that? It's pretty important to remember, right? So why did he leave? So the Malbim explains that really, he wasn't sure why Shlomo was telling him this. You know, he didn't know. Shlomo's plan was to find a reason to kill him. He didn't realize exactly what Shlomo had in mind. So he thought Shlomo was telling him this because Shlomo didn't want him to go back and band with his, with his chevra and maybe make a rebellion. So that's why Shlomo said this. And that's why Shlomo said also the Nachal Kidro, because that's where he was from. He shouldn't go back to Bahurim, back to his family and friends, and stir up a rebellion. That's what Shlomo had in mind. But here, I'm not going in that direction. I'm going to Gas, and I'm going to get my servants. So he really thought that he was doing something that was okay. It's not that he forgot the instructions. He thought he was doing something okay. Now, in reality, that's not the case. Shlomo said, I told you, you can't move, right? So in the end, he ended up getting killed. And this is because, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu worked it out. Okay.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Question. Your son, David wasn't allowed to build a temple because he was a man of war. And Solomon was supposed to be a man of peace. So they let him build a temple. But so far, all I'm seeing is killings.
Yeah. Okay. Good point. Now the killing will stop, right? Shlomo is really taking care of unfinished business of David, right? Uh-huh. Number one, he's not going to have a whole kingdom full of a whole rule full of killing. Plus, he's not doing the killing here, although he is the one who's arranging it. But keep in mind, he's only doing this because David told him to do it. Right? His father told him to do it, and Benayahu's really the bad. He's really the hitman, and Shlomo's just making the arrangements. So it's true that he's arranging this, but it's not coming from him. Okay. So the Pasuk says, Pasuk Mem Hey, Lestu Psukim, Vehamelach Shlomo Baruch, Vechisei David Yehiyen Achon Lifnei Hashem Ad Olam, that now the King Shlomo is blessed or will be blessed. Why? Because also everybody sees now that Shlomo's not showing, he's not playing favorites, right? He's acting with justice. And the house of David will be well established, and the shul will be upheld. Pasuk Mem Vav, Vayitzav HaMelech es Benayahu ben Yehoyada, Vayetze Vayivka bo Vayamo. So he tells Benayahu, do your thing, take care of business. And he goes and he kills Shimei ben Gera, HaMamlacha Nachona B'yad Shlomo. And this solidifies Shlomo's reign, because now all of the rabble rousers, right, who had done all sorts of bad stuff to David and had rebelled against David and not listened to David or violated David's wishes or cursed David, all these people are now gone. They're out of the equation, right? Adoniyahu is dead. Yoav is dead. Shimei ben Gera is dead. Eviyasar was demoted. And now the kingdom can go on. And now we'll learn in Mirtz Hashem next week how Shlomo's kingdom begins to flourish. Next week is Purim. Okay, we're not going to have a shiur on Purim. Week after, Mitzvah. Thank you. Okay, thank you for coming.
Thank you, Rabbi. All right. Can I call you a little later on?
Sure. Good night. Okay. How's it going in Florida, Maish?
It's 85 degrees. I don't know.
85 degrees.
Take care, Maish.
Enjoy. Good night.